Welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy, as always.
How you doing out there, world?
That was Battle of Blair Mountain by the Ohio black metal band Efell, which is, we'll get into the meaning of that in the episode. But if you like the album, or if you like the song, go buy the album. You can still get copies of it on Blast Beats Vinyl right now. It is an exclusive, so if you're a first-time buyer, you can't use the promo code. But if you're a first-time buyer and you're checking out anything else, use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first order. They have a ton of killer stuff, but they only did 100 copies of this album, and I know over half of them are gone. So if you like it, get it while you can. Or go to FEAD's website, which is in the episode description, and pick up a copy of the tape if that's your preferred format. They also have t-shirts and et cetera, but we have Ryan from the band here with us, and we'll get into the interview with him unless you have anything else, Jeremy.
Danny Filth, Ed Sheeran. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that at some other point in time. But yeah, Danny Filth is collabing with Ed Sheeran. If you're not familiar with Danny Filth, he's from Cradle of Filth. I felt like that was self-explanatory, but somebody out there is going to be like, who?
And if you don't know who Ed Sheeran is, he's that goofy little redheaded guy.
All right, anyways, enjoy the interview. Thanks for listening. Ryan, thanks for taking the time to jump on the show. We appreciate it, man. How you doing?
Really good. Thanks for having me. Really psyched to be doing this.
So you play guitar in the band. You're one of two or three guitarists?
Two guitarists and one bass player, and I help out with vocals and do the choir stuff and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. What do you mean when you do the choir stuff? Like you do like all the background singing?
In the
Blair Mountain song?
I know what like you mean. I'm just trying
No, I mean, is he doing like, you do the high like...
Oh, so there's a big choir section in like Eyes of the Moon. Yeah. So like those parts, and then Blair Mountain has like the part.
That's cool. I guess I was under the impression that it was like sampled from something, because normally it is.
Yeah, I actually started taking singing lessons like a year before that. I had never tried to sing. That the stuff we do is pretty easy, so it took minimal work to get it. And the other guys are really good. So,
right.
Yeah, that shit sounded awesome, man.
Yeah, I've always liked Demu did that on a few albums where they had a lot of like orchestral kind of choir singing in the background, and like over black metal music, it just sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's different. I guess it's not like true cult black metal, whatever.
Just do what you like.
I love it.
You like, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really follow into any of that shit. We're just like, if it's good, it's good. Like, honestly, I don't even know what the defining line for black metal is anymore, because I hear some stuff that
so blurred, dude.
I'm like, is it black metal? I guess it has a tinge of it or whatever, but I mean definitely in you guys' music I can hear the black metal sound and lore to it, and it's listed as like death and black metal, so, but it's just so many things have been defined as that at this point that you're like, well, I don't know where the deciding factor is anymore. So,
and I heard you guys on the episode I listened to disagree about Dissection, which I could see it both ways. I'm a huge fan. I think they're black metal, but...
Oh, definitely. Yeah, or I think they're death metal. You think they're black metal. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it really depends on the album, too.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too.
I'd say 100% melodic black metal, but it does have some death metal to it for sure.
Yeah. Are you guys more fans of like the earlier stuff or the later stuff? I think it's all really good.
For Dissection?
Yeah.
To me, they didn't do anything bad. I mean, they really didn't have a chance to. They only had a handful of records, but some people don't like Ryan Koss. I think it's a great album still. Yeah, it's obviously not the previous, but like that was their... what do they say, their magnum opus or whatever, like that was their like crown jewel.
I think I agree. His vocals on it were just, I mean, the production's really high, so if you're not into like the higher production, I do like somewhat gritty production, but I really like that last album. I also really like the early stuff, so like I'm kind of split.
I'm not as a huge fan of that band per se to even be like, this sucks or that sucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna, I think it all sounds fucking good.
Yeah. I started with In Flames, so like they were a huge,
gotcha.
Which I still love. I love early In Flames still. Dissection was a step up in a different direction.
Did you listen to Majesties by chance, since you're an early In Flames fan?
Majesties, that's like a brand new album that sounds, yeah, Vast Reaches Unclaimed, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the
I just
one
found
of the
that
guys
album
from Obsequii and then Antiverse and some other bands.
We interviewed him in an earlier episode.
Yeah,
if you scroll like down a ways.
I don't remember what episode.
They sound like, yeah, that record's solid, like 10 out of 10 for sure.
Yeah, but if you're a fan of like that early, like At the Gates, like Dark Tranquility, In Flames, that sort of thing, that melodic Gothenburg sound, they're definitely like, they nailed it 100%.
It's crazy you mentioned that. That's like the third most recent album I've saved on Spotify. I think like, you know how you play music on Spotify and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm just like, this is fine, or I'll skip it. But that one, like, I don't remember what song hit my ears, but it really stood out. So then I played the whole album and instant fan.
Awesome.
Apparently, from what he says, they're doing a second album and it's going to be better than the first one. But I was like, I don't know how you're going to make it better, but, but all right, I'm there for it.
I wonder if it's one of those things where he's so close to it because he saw the process of making the music that, you know, maybe he sees flaws that other people don't.
It could be
that he wants to.
Both Carl and Tanner were like very musically inclined and like highly intelligent with that stuff. So there's probably little nuances in there that them as musicians want to change, but like us as fans don't notice it right away.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this certain verse doesn't hit the vibe we wanted, and we really wish we could go redo it. But yeah, I think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. So you guys as band, how do you correctly say the name?
It's funny. I don't even know if like we agree. I say Eiffel. I've heard Eiffel. I've heard some people just say evil because I think that's like one of the translations.
Dude, Eiffel's the shit.
I Googled it just to see like what it translated to. So it's Old English for evil, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it Latin or something?
No, it's Old English. Okay. Eiffel. We're not like critical on it. As long as people are pronouncing our name, that means they're talking about us for happy.
Right.
You can pronounce it however you want.
I'm gonna say like you're also in Midwest, so like I guarantee there's been people that say Eiffel.
Yeah, I've heard some weird ones that I can't even remember like live because that's like a lot of people want to know how to say it, and the band. We can't even agree on it. So.
Yeah, the Eiffel is hilarious.
Eiffel, yeah.
Evil.
I've heard pronunciations of us like, I don't even know how you like arrived here, but
right.
It's interesting. It's fun to hear.
I like it though. I think it's a cool name for a band. Like, obviously, Evil's probably already taken, or it's just so obvious that nobody took it. It's been laying this whole time, but like,
that
I like those
so
like short. One word band names like Hate or Evil or like shit like that. Like,
that's exactly
know, they just
what
seems so much like heavier
and
to
harder
me.
And harder and harder to get every day.
Yeah. And to find like, you know, you guys are a newer band. So to find that common of a word in metal music that wasn't used already, that's impressive.
Well, we picked it thinking, oh, no one's using this. And then we found there's like a Eiffel 1710 from Poland who are also sick, also doing black metal. And then there was a little project before that that was doing it as well that we weren't aware of. And it's crazy how many names there are. And when you go to like look at anything underground on Spotify, there's like five bands before the one you want appears.
Yeah, 24 wow. variations of death. You know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
There's always one in Poland. It's funny that the other one is in Poland, but yeah, there's always like a band somewhere across the world that's using the same name.
Yeah. They follow us and we follow them, so there's no hard feelings.
Right on.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're very good. I'm glad they're not doing like exactly the same flavor as us. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean,
and the fact that they're not US.
You guys definitely have like a more of an atmospheric sound, and I think like that fits Fied well, because obviously like her label is very animal driven and atmospheric and nature driven. Like we did Robes of Snow also.
And, oh, I love them. Pennsylvania, right?
Yep. All of his stuff is like all about the seasons and everything like that. So the fact that like you guys kind of had a little bit of that same lore, and then the album has and tells different stories inside of it, it fits the label well.
Yeah, we were really happy to be working with them. Well, her. And yeah, it's been great so far.
How long has that been going on? How did you guys get associated with Barry Ann? Did you already know bands on the label, or?
Yeah, I started to get into like, I like dungeon synth, but sometimes it's just a lot to listen to. What I really like is comfy synth, and her comfy synth lineup's really, really good.
Yeah, I actually didn't know what comfy synth was until we interviewed her. Actually, it might have been Jeff that was telling us about that from Wild and Woe. I don't remember which one, but one of them I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck is comfy synth?
Fuck it is either.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm sure you guys know now, just really pleasant to listen to. It's great. And then like, there's some synth that's just like, I would almost say it's like medieval synth. It's not like so upbeat, but it's also not like taxing on your ears at all.
Right.
I really like that too, like that kind of lane. And she's got a lot of good stuff in that direction.
That's cool. So did she reach out to you guys, or you reached out to her?
No, I reached out to her. There's like, I think I had like a top five label distributor kind of things that I wanted to work with. And she was literally the first one we messaged.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I was like, oh, everyone's going to message us back. Not everybody messaged us back, but we were so fortunate that she messaged us back. And yeah, working with her has been really good. I think we messaged her back like, we've had the album done. I feel like it's been over a year now. And then just getting it to the point of like releasing it, I didn't know how many steps there were going to be in that. It's crazy to be on the other side of seeing it actually released. Because I've been in bands where we just release our stuff when we want.
Right.
So to like be working with other people, different experience for sure.
The album itself came out like late. It was late last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. We actually released it on Winter Solstice, which
I
thought was really cool. But yeah, December 22nd.
Okay. And then I'm assuming you guys already had the vinyl and stuff in production and then just had to wait for that to be done, or did that come later?
That came a little later. At first we were just doing cassettes, but then we found out we were able to do vinyls, and I'm really glad we worked with Blast Beats, because I think they had a hand in adding the black splatter to it, which I was so pumped to be doing. I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, plus the like the demo photos that he took make it look like everything that he does is top notch.
Yeah,
it's always really complimentary to the album colors, and he knows how to pick like flowers and random shit to put in there that makes it look really good.
Barry Ann's really good at it too. If you've seen our cassettes,
she made them. I see her stuff really every. It feels like every day, but I know every Friday she's always like got posting Fied Friday stuff of new releases, and everything from her always looks great too. I'm just not a tape person.
I have a pile of, not tapes. I wish I had piles of tapes, but piles of bands that she's, you know, every week to check out. You know, and you just get like so backed up. And they're all good.
I don't know how she has the energy to handle all of that. It's really impressive.
Definitely.
I feel like I slow down every single year, and she just seems to be speeding up. It's very inspiring. I wish I had that energy.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely has a background in it, so I feel like it might just kind of be second nature to her at this point, since she's been doing it for a while.
Sure. Yeah, she's really good at it.
So who were some of the other labels that you had on your wish list?
I would almost have to go back and look. There's one, I know the name of it, but they also release Dungeons and Dragons dice with their stuff, which I think is really cool. I'm actually looking at, I have the, oh, Bindrune was one, which, you know, their connection to like Panopticon and stuff, I thought would have been a really cool crossover. And maybe it's too on the nose. I actually didn't know how close, I wasn't super aware of Panopticon when we started our stuff. And then to look at how much like Panopticon we are, it, as far as themes, they've got a lot of themes, but that one album is pretty much exactly what we were trying to do with our album that they started out with. Out of Season, that's the one. I really feel like it was Out of Season, Bindrune, and Fiad were like the top three. And then I think there was a couple unrealistic ones that, you know, we were just shooting our shot.
Right. Like Metal Blade or something.
I don't think we went that. I mean, I might have sent it, just send it at the end, but I honestly don't know how we would fit on that. And I feel like for the level we're at and where we're all adults with like bills, I feel like we couldn't handle the commitment of being a band that would be on Metal Blade. We would love to do that, but it's stuff's getting expensive.
Yeah, and it's a pretty hefty tour scheduling or tour expectation, at least.
Yeah, we would love to do like a week or two run and hit some festivals at some distance, but I can't afford to just not work for a month.
Have you guys played shows so far as a band?
Yeah, we've played a bunch here, Dayton. We're about to play Cincinnati for our first time. Last year, I think it was last year, we got to play in Knoxville, which was really cool. They have a really cool scene. They actually have like dungeon synth shows at the place we played, which is really cool because you just wouldn't think the middle of Tennessee would be a haven for that kind of thing. But are you guys familiar with like From Evil Well?
I am not.
They're kind of like from around that area, which actually the vocalist happened to be at our show that night. Really nice dude.
Awesome. Dungeon Synth has been something that I've watched grow quite a bit and like almost quicker than I expected it to, really. Because I have a friend that he has a Dungeon Synth project called El Avalon, and he owns Barrow Horde Records.
And that sounds familiar. It might just be one of those names where it's like, yeah, that sounds like something in my Dungeons and Dragons game.
I'll send it to you. But
okay.
He was the one that like kind of brought that to me and told me and explained what it was and whatnot, and then kind of got me into it. Like, I'm not as in depth to it. I don't know quite as many artists. I do know a handful, but I, you know, he's playing like Dungeon Siege festivals and like shit like that, and all these. It's really cool to see, though.
Yeah, that shit's blowing up.
I just saw there's going to be another Dungeon Synth festival in Fort Wayne, and it's got a stacked lineup. It's crazy. It's really cool to see it take off.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not something that I expected to really take off like that. Like, not, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's just I didn't foresee like festivals and that stuff coming. But it does make sense with the lore of the music, because I mean, there's a ton of people out there that are into Dungeons and Dragons and fantasy stuff and things like that. Like, I mean, I am to some degree too, but I guess, you know, Renaissance festivals were a thing, so why can't Dungeon Siege festivals be a thing?
Yeah, I love all that stuff. So it's crazy it didn't land on my ears a little sooner. But yeah, it's really cool to see it take off. And then I love the crossover between like black metal or medieval black metal.
Yeah.
And Dungeon
Some
Synth.
Some of it because even sounds like it's like the instrumental parts of black metal without the heavy part to it. Like, there's a lot of times where Emperor has used stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Demu has. Stormkeep did it. Stormkeep even made a Dungeon Synth record along with the record.
Which is sick.
Their album, the The one with the castle.
Yeah, Tales so of good. Tales of Other Time.
Yeah, what was that? 2020, I think it came out.
I think so.
Oh, it's 2020 it's or so
2021,
good.
But yeah, it's a phenomenal album.
Yeah, every time I remember that that album exists, I play it, and it's just so good. I played it all 2020.
I still play Might be it my album regularly movie. Now, like it just came out. It's fucking good. But
and that art's perfect to like grab your attention.
It's yeah,
like,
oh. Absolutely. It's like perfect black metal art. Like there's a castle, a wizard, there's wintry mountains and shit, and it's blue.
Blue haze, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. And we actually, when we open our show, we were playing Frog Concert, who was on Viad, or at least, you know, working with Viad. And now we have a local dungeon synth artist called Crypt Mage, who I think they're also going to distribute one of their past albums through Viad. So it's really cool to have that connection.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'd love to do more of it in our music.
Is there?
We
like
also
a...
chopped a bunch.
Is there like a thriving black metal scene in Ohio, or is it just kind of a handful of bands here and there?
I think for black metal, it's pretty. I think it's pretty okay. Baldrins from I think Cincinnati, they're kind of popping off. They're touring with Wayfarer pretty soon, and their last album, they're like melodic black metal, but they're really good. And then, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest band, but there's a bunch of pretty decent bands here. I'm trying to think of some that are any bigger than that, but we've definitely, there's plenty of just all black metal shows all over the state.
That's awesome. I don't see that as much here. Maybe because we don't live like in the city, so we don't see it, but I just don't see that being advertised as much in Michigan.
Yeah, you guys are close to Detroit, right?
We're like a few hours north of Detroit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
The only black metal scene I really can recall was in like Lansing like 20 years ago where there was like Summon. And even they would end up playing with like different, not even black metal bands, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you would think with how cold and icy it gets here, there would be more black metal bands.
Yeah, and it's got like... really nice forest, right? Like you guys have a really nice wildlife up there.
Oh yeah, we have tons of forest wildlife, deer, animals, all that stuff.
Yeah,
lots of water thing. So you guys
I'm not into the
go ahead.
I was gonna say I'm not into the Ohio State Michigan, like I'm
the beef
totally detached. Yeah, I don't care.
Shit, dude, I'm wearing an Ohio hoodie right now.
Yeah, I like both states.
I feel like that's a sports dilemma.
Yeah, I don't fuck with sports too much.
Yeah.
I just do soccer. That's it. And there's no beef there that I know of.
You guys' album cover, is that a picture out of Ohio, or is that something that you guys grabbed from somewhere else?
That's actually I couldn't tell you the artist offhand, but it's a landscape in Tennessee that we came across.
It's a painting?
It is. It's I know it's from like the 1800s. I should have looked that up before I got on here. But we were going through and we realized other bands were, you know, pulling these. One of the big bands we like is, I don't know if you guys listen to them, Winterphileth. And I'm probably saying their name wrong too.
Yeah, they had a release on Blast Beats right along with you guys. They're like a folk rock, or not rock, but a folk band.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar.
Oh, yeah. Winterphileth, I wonder if they're... That might be a different band. So they're kind of where I get most of my inspiration for the riffs we do. Although I try not to, like, rip too hard.
Oh, wait, I was thinking of Wintergrave, not Phileth. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like an English band.
Yeah.
They were doing, I was looking, I was like, where is there, who does their art? I always look at what other people are doing. Like who did their logo, who recorded it, what studio they go, what guitars they use. I get kind of obsessive.
That's a good thing to do.
What did you use as far as gear on this record?
We
used
the
previous one.
It was all the same.
EP, I mean.
Yeah, we recorded everything in my basement, even the drums. And I think if you listen to the EP, I'm not a fan of our EP in its entirety. There's a lot of things I would like to change. It would have been nice to send it off. But for this new one, we recorded it down there. And yeah, we used... How in the weeds do you want to get with the gear stuff? Because I could say it's like we used EVH 5150s, the other guitars.
Yeah. So you got some 5150 heads.
Yeah, and I use a mix. In the middle of recording this album, I got my Hoppus guitar from Germany, which I had ordered like 2 years prior, and it just takes forever for like a custom guitar. I've never purchased anything this nice for myself, and I had to use two tax refunds to get it's great. And now I want to sell all my other guitars, and I probably need to, because I need to recoup the money from what I sunk into this. But I used an Epiphone that had the Eclipse, Fluence Eclipse. Is that what it is? Fluence? I can't remember. But it's the Fluence pickups, the active pickups. And then I switched over to their hand wound ones in the middle. And then our other guitars got I think it's a Aristides. That's how you pronounce it, guitar, and he's playing through a Rev. And then for the bass,
so you guys are basically getting like boutique fucking one-off guitars.
Yeah, we're both in extreme debt, but that's what credit cards are for.
I had to sell like all my gear at one time too. It happens.
Yeah,
but you gotta keep a couple, dude. I still have a couple.
Yeah, every time I sell something, it's like a year later, I regret it. So I've held on to like all my guitars, which has been hard to do. I think I'm finally ready to sell them because like I only want to play the custom one now.
You just don't think about it.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I just put it behind me and don't look at my bank account.
Yeah, or... You have to sell. You have to sell. Look at your bank account and be like, "Oh, that looks good," and just try to remember that it wasn't your guitars that filled it.
Yeah, my wife's not a huge fan of my spending.
I'd imagine not. Funny.
Yeah, at the same time, makes me happy. So.
Yep.
Wives usually never are. I don't have one, yeah. But just from what I hear from other people.
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for her, I would be a financial disaster. Yeah. She keeps me grounded. But sometimes I will sneak a purchase I shouldn't have made past her and ask for forgiveness.
So you guys did this in your basement. Did you send it out to be mixed and mastered somewhere, or you did all that in-house too?
For the EP, I did all that, and I thought it sounded really good. I spent like 12-hour days. I did everything that you shouldn't do, where I just, my ears were like burnout, and I was like, yeah, I think this is good. And I'd never want to do that again. So we sent this to the guy who did Panopticon Sour, I think is how you pronounce the band. I'm a huge fan, but yeah, some of these band names, I can't pronounce.
Totally. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We run into that all the time.
Yeah, S-A-O-R.
Oh, it's I know what you're talking about.
It's like super atmospheric, and it's really nice.
I've sold a handful of their records out of the store.
Oh, yeah. They're really good. I really like them. Everything they do is gold. But, yeah, anyways, we went to Spencer Morris, who did that, and he mixed and mastered it. Did a fantastic job and didn't kill us on the budget. But we were so much happier with how this turned out compared to the EP. We've thought about going back and redoing that and taking out the parts that I can't stand. So they're tolerable and just trying to wipe the old one from existence. But we still do play stuff from the EP. There are I like most of what's on the EP. There's just a couple riffs and things I don't love.
I listened to the EP and I like it.
Right. But that goes back to like what we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
Where like, the dudes from Majesties are like, oh, we're going to make it better. And we're like, how? But when you're the person that wrote it and you've heard it time and time again, like, you find shit that you don't like.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And I'm just not the person that can produce their own stuff being so close to it. Like, even when I heard the stuff that Spencer had done right after, and I met up with him at Panopticon. Panopticon did their first hometown show, and I met up with him because he was doing the sound there. And I asked him, I was like, does anyone like ever get stuff back that you do and they're just so close to it that it still sounds weird? He's like, no, that never happens. But I think I'm the first. Like, second I heard, I was like, yeah, I could still hear all this stuff I recorded, and it bothers me. But at this now, I really like it. I just needed some time away from it.
Yeah, sometimes you need like a palate cleanser.
You gotta listen
to something else to appreciate what you were burning out or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I love all the songs now. I needed a solid couple of months though to just get away from it.
And you just ran all that through your Mac or whatever?
I have just like a gaming computer, and we got the I have a friend that has a lot of money and did all this. He had like a recording studio, but then he moved and didn't have room for it, so he sold it all to me for like heavily discounted price.
Awesome.
I don't know how else we would have done it if that wasn't a thing, because that stuff's so expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and then Spencer helped us set all the mics up to like be as good as they could be in a basement. And I mean, it's black metal, but we wanted some polish.
Yeah, there's still a way to record everything, you know.
Yeah, like I didn't know how to do a kick; it sounded awful, and he had me move it like 3 inches this way instantly. Sounded like a kick. I was like, oh.
Yeah, there's definitely a science to microphone placement and all that stuff, and sound engineering in general. That all that stuff is crucial to a record. It can make or break it.
Yeah, and trying to learn it all like right away,
right?
You just like miss things, and you're like,
and it's kind of pressure of like it's your band, so you're like, fuck, I want this to be as good as it can be, and you're, you know, running into this issue and that issue
on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just snowballs like into hating it. So it really, for us, we'll never produce it ourselves again.
Well, I mean, the record itself, the new one, like, not that the old one sounded bad or anything, but you can hear the difference. And
yeah,
I like how the production on this it's not lo-fi, but it doesn't make it sound too polished. Like, the vocalist has like kind of a cavernous, like isolated vocal sound to him. The guitar tone is real good. It fits the record, it fits the sound, it fits the atmosphere, and everything complements it very well.
Yeah, it's almost like modern classic production.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But there's times where producers will try to like over polish something, or, you know,
see every deathcore band right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It happens. And sometimes it just takes the life out of the record. Sure. Like, so there needs to be some grit to it here and there, and like, or all over the place, depending on the record.
Yeah, that'll ruin it for me if it's over polished stuff. I need a little grit there. If it sounds like, if it's too like everything's perfectly separated, I could hear everything. It's great, and I couldn't. I know there's a skill there to producing that is shown, but I do. I guess maybe growing up in the '90s, I just have a preference for a little bit of grit, a little bit of like adhesion to each other.
I kind of think it depends on the genre too you're listening to, as far as productions go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like it's much like in tech death, it's much more tolerable, because I do kind of want to hear everything. Like, if Necrophages ever comes back, it would be cool to hear that. I mean, they were already pretty polished, but it is nice to hear like every single note when that's what you're doing. But
I don't think they're ever gonna make a comeback, unfortunately.
Yeah, man.
But on the other end of it too, it's like that super lo-fi shit. It's like you can hide a lot of shit in there too, you know.
I have a love hate with lo-fi. It's got to be like done right. It can't just be shit for the sake of being shit. You know, yeah, like Burzum recorded like on the worst possible thing he could.
No, I think that shit sounds good.
Now, it worked for a couple records, like Philosophum or however you properly say it. Love it. It sounds great. But then some of the other stuff, I'm like, this is fucking horrible. And so it's got to be like, if it's going to be shitty and that lo-fi, there has to be like a certain charm and tone to it to make it to where I can listen to it. And that's not the case with everybody. Everybody's ears are going to be different, but just me personally, like, if it's not, there's no groove or melody or something that draws me in, it just doesn't do it for me. Like, it took me a long time to really appreciate some of the, like, lo-fi classic stuff, yeah. Like, even Dark Throne stuff. I personally like Dark Throne's newer shit more than their older shit.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But they're two totally different sounds, I think, too.
Yeah,
I like older stuff, but go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'll talk over you for days. I'm the worst about doing that. Bathory is what I kind of started on. I had a friend that worked at a record shop, and he just was like, give this a try if you want to get into this. And I think it set me up.
Frame of reference then, obviously.
It took a while for me to get used to it, though. It was not a instant hit my ears.
Yeah, like, but it's one of those things where you, like, know that something's there, but you're like, I'll revisit this down the road, and then eventually it clicks.
Yeah, I was also from, like, a small town in rural Ohio, so, like, I don't know, it was so different than anything, because I had heard Cradle of Filth, and to me, and I like Cradle of Filth still. I don't know if it's for, like, nostalgia or whatever.
I love them. They're a great band.
I still like Cradle of Filth. Still listen to them.
Yeah, I feel like they get like a they're part of that like not true black metal thing. But
they helped bring black metal to popularity to allow people to be able to make it on a more widespread scale. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I love some of those like old albums. They're great. But man, I forgot what I was saying. I got thinking about the romanticism with Cradle of Filth that I just
were talking about Bathory and the lo-fi sound.
Oh yeah, I will say like Dark Funeral has some really rough albums that I wish they would redo, because like some of the I'll listen to the live performance because it's just so much more clean than the album, and some of those riffs are so good that I need to hear the riffs, and they just get lost in like, I don't know, echo or reverb, or I don't know how they did it, but it's really, really bad, and it's not my jam type of stuff.
All mids and no low end, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like I Am the Black Wizards is like one of my favorite songs they do. I mean, it's classic, but it's the album version is really bad. I would love to hear those riffs.
So for black metal in general, do you tend to lean, it sounds like, more towards like the melodic style stuff and the atmospheric style type of things, like
I'm way more sort. Yeah, like that stuff that's kind of what got me into what I'm into now, but now I'm more into like the Winter Filleth, Sour, like I like atmosphere, I like something that like goes on longer than 5 minutes. I like really like sitting into the vibe that they're presenting.
I'm a big fan of Opeth, so I like long songs.
Yeah. They're
that's why I'm I like see the them. New Dark Throne stuff so much. Like they're longer songs, they kind of build a little more. They're I don't know.
Yeah. Opeth was a big band for me back in the day. Definitely responsible for my taste today, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully I get to see them for the first time this year.
But I've heard they're great live.
Yeah. Were you a fan of
videos of them? So I've watched them on my TV, but I've never gotten to see them.
Yeah, like the DVDs they put out.
Yeah, I have like the Red Rocks show and some other stuff that they did.
That's cool. His lows in Bloodbath are top notch. That's my style of death metal.
Yeah, Michael Akerfeldt and Dan Swano are like two of my favorite screamers in death metal or metal. Yeah. I guess some people would be like, that's not fucking death metal.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, he did Bloodbath, so
yeah,
I would. Yeah, the dude that
replaced him down the road, like the guy from Hypocrisy, he still does a great job too.
Yeah I like the new Bloodbath a lot too.
Yeah,
I'm not too picky, but I just think, the guy, Michael Akerfeldt,
yep,
he's up there as like the top. I just that tone is perfect.
Yeah, he did like guest vocals on the Catatonia Brave New Day or Brave Murder Day.
Yeah, is Catatonia part of like some of those members are part of Black or Bloodbath, right?
Yeah, I think there's one or two in there, or one that was or something and revolved in and out of the band or whatever. It's kind of Bloodbath's almost like a super group, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's been so long since I've looked all this stuff up, but I remember that was like, it was basically Opeth and them and some other guys.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll get off topic on this all day. Back to you guys' record. So
sorry.
I was reading like on Bandcamp that the kind of story behind the album like revolves around coal mining or mountains and that sort of thing. Is that true, or is that something that somebody just commented?
No, it is about it. It's more about worker rights. Okay. Within coal mining.
That makes sense with the coal mining aspect then.
Yeah, it translates to a lot of stuff that is happening today with like just corporations taking advantage of the worker. Battle for Blair Mountain's kind of like the peak of the album that illustrates that. But they also, I mean, coal companies just, they're a really good target because they just destroy the land, make agreements to clean it up, don't clean it up, and leave that burden on the communities and the wildlife there. So, yeah, there's not a huge love there for the coal companies. And a lot of the people I went to school with became coal miners, and I'm starting to see the effects of those decisions to go into that field and those companies not taking care of the workers.
So this is something that you guys kind of had a little history into, or like a background on at least. Because like where we're at, is there fucking coal mining here? Like we make concrete.
No,
and shit.
Man, we started out with lumber. This is fucked up. I just watched a like YouTube documentary about our history and like the lumber. But yeah, it's all woods. Like there was this old quote. This guy was like down near like fucking Portage. We just had those tornadoes and they were like, "What's that way?" And he's like, "Trees."
So is coal mining like where you're from, is that in Ohio, is that a like thriving business down there, or an industry, I mean?
Yeah, where I'm from is basically like, a lot of my friends that are from here in Columbus say I'm from West Virginia, and I could see West Virginia from my house, but yeah, it's one of the predominant industries down there. I don't know about now, I haven't lived down there for 15 years, but my family's still from there. So,
okay.
I hear stuff, and then, you know, Facebook, I keep in touch. But
I think it's a cool concept for a record, though. You mentioned Wayfarer earlier, and they're another band that likes to sort of have a concept for each record.
Yeah. And they're fantastic.
That was one thing that really drew me to you guys' band, because originally, like, I checked you out. It was back when we did the Barry Ann interview, and I was just like adding stuff from the Bandcamp, like seeing who's all on the label and whatnot. So I had, had you in mind for a while to have you on here. I was just waiting for the right time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, this is a perfect time with the album coming out. Another thing we like to do is we throw decent amount of Irish mythology in there to kind of illustrate some of these points. And it's been a really easy blend because a lot of those gods are good to use to oppose some of the things that happen in the coal industry. And it makes it really easy to paint a very vivid picture, I think.
Yeah, for sure. There's no like coal mine on the album cover. Did you guys originally have like an idea to put that on the album cover too? Or
we did. And our bass player is an artist. He's done both the t-shirts with like that aren't just our logos. And the original idea was to have a giant mountain with like we were going to have like the mountaintop, because it's not just mines how people think. They just totally remove the mountaintop, and we were going to have just kind of like a I guess like an overview of a mountain valley with a lot of the mountaintops removed. We had a bunch of ideas, but then we found this
decapitated mountaintops.
Yeah. Well, and then it kind of felt like with like hue manure from cattle decap was like, they're very on the nose. And I was like, well, I didn't want to be too on the nose. And it was also just easier to go this direction. And we really, really liked the art when we saw it. The bass player, who's the artist, found this image, and we were pretty sure we had found our cover once we pulled it up.
Yeah, I guess really, like, it could be considered a little tacky if you did do that. Cause,
yeah.
Like, I mean, the cattle decap is a good reference because they're very, you know, every record has some type of, it's like reverse, like if animals were doing to humans what we do to them type of thing.
Yeah, and, which I love.
Yeah, no, I do too. It's great. But it could almost be kind of tacky if they didn't do it so well, or if it was overdone on the wrong thing. Like for them, it works, but I guess it wouldn't work for everybody.
And I almost feel like the album cover works as kind of, it kind of sets the mood for what we wanted to come across with the music, where it's a little bit more atmospheric.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That album kind cover of, is exactly how it looks today outside here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the perfect springtime album, I think.
Yeah, we get that a lot, but I like atmospheric and seasonal complementary music. Like when we talked to Robes of Snow, I told him I thought that was a really cool idea, and like Panopticon got mentioned a bunch of times. But when it's snowing out, like Jeremy and I are both big into listening to like icy sounding black metal. But now that I've come across more bands that kind of have like a gloomy, maybe spring or fall type of sound, or complementary sound, I guess, it's cool to kind of tie that into, because then I can listen to more in the other seasons. But there's just, I can listen to black metal when it's bright and sunny out, but there's just something about it being gloomy or cold that like sets the tone for the music that much more.
I 100% agree. Before I like got super into black metal, I always used to go to Time One from Winter Sun for my winter album, and it's just the perfect compliment. But now that I'm into, I've gone more in the atmospheric black metal direction. That's all I listen to all winter.
I like that Winter Sun record. Some people I know, so there was a lot of people I know that disliked it, and I you know, it sounds kind of techie or digital, I guess, at certain points.
Time One. Like,
yeah, maybe that's not the same one I'm thinking of, but let me look.
I could see that. It definitely is much higher production value than their first album. And they're finally coming out with Time 2, which I'm really excited about.
Okay. I was thinking of the first one, but
yeah, the first one, I like all of it. I guess
I do too, but I'm just saying, like, I can see
some people,
I can reason with people's like gripe with it in certain aspects.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I really, really like them still. I can't wait for that new album.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, I don't think they'd be considered true cult, really. They get torn apart in that, but fuck all those guys anyways.
I never even considered Winter Sun as black metal, but they do have like a lot of the aspects of atmospheric black metal in what they do. They're just incredible musicians at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So the record that you guys just put out and the record release, this was your first record release, like, all together. Like, have you you've never had a record come out in any other band or anything?
Not in a physical one. And this is, only the second album I've ever, like, done in completion ever. But, the vinyl has been a dream since I was a kid. And now to have it is wonderful. I never dreamed of doing, like, cassettes, but I did grow up in that time, and now that it's a thing, I'm in love with it. I like having like a token. I think it's nice, even if you're not going to like listen to it, it's just nice if you go to a show and they have something physical. And you know, my closet has way too many t-shirts in it. I don't need it anymore, so if I see a cassette, I'm gonna grab one.
I like that they put, you know, like you can get a 4-song demo for under $10. That's cool. But like sonically, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. There's, I started looking in, like, there's like, you have to buy like the old tape players. I think it's like the Negamichi.
Nakamichi. And,
like, yeah, Nakamichi. Yeah, the dragon.
You have to spend, yeah.
Dude, I know
you
what you're talking about.
Bucks.
It's fucking insane.
I mean, you can get other Nock decks for slightly cheaper, but all of them, I mean, you can even the lowest end model that they made now goes for at least $100 to $200 because of the name.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cool name. I got really into going to like thrift stores and finding cassette decks, and then mostly it's just, I mean, maybe I've just been lucky, but mostly it's just the belts kind of melt. So I'll buy new belts off of eBay and repair them and have a working tape deck.
Yeah, usually the belts, and you got to keep clean heads. That's really the main two things to a tape deck.
Yeah, and I got that, like, it's probably not, I'm sure there's a way better way to do it. I'm not like a professional at all. I just kind of tinker, but I got like the head cleaning cassette. I'm sure that's.
Oh yeah,
I made so many people
mad. I
have
a couple of those.
Now that thing works.
I have a whole fucking
for
set
like,
with everything.
As long as you keep up on it, it works. But if, for like a deep cleaning, it wouldn't really tackle the job.
And I always kind of look at
it. Replace it too, since you're talking about repairing.
Yeah.
Pinch roller. It would eat my tape.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then I forgot to put 2 screws in, and it didn't work. Yeah. Do you remember me telling you that, Ryan?
I do remember now that you said
it. Well, then I pulled the top apart, and luckily I found where they went right away, and I was like, it was like a 5-minute job.
Nice.
I was like, sweet.
You got lucky.
Yeah, so.
That's nice.
All the kids out there, don't talk to Mrs. Mary Jane and then go to fix things.
without writing down what you're doing.
Yeah.
I would recommend going to a thrift store and getting a cassette you don't like and then using that to test it. I actually spent $1 extra to get the Garth Brooks because I thought it'd be funny to ruin it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, here's the bad part is I listened to so much Garth Brooks in trying to find the cassette deck that now I like Garth Brooks.
It's burned
and I
in
hate
your
country.
Head.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's the worst.
The thunder rolls, my friend.
That's the one. It's actually... It sucks how much I like it now. I used to pride myself in never listening because I didn't grow up around country.
Yeah, where we're at, like that shit is, people still play Thunder Rolls.
Like,
and
you can't really avoid it.
Rodeo, and I'm trying to think of some other Garth Brooks songs.
Or if you work anywhere around here, you're gonna be subjected to it. You go to the dentist.
It's
you're
anywhere
subjected.
In it's anywhere in Michigan though, like, too, dude. Like fuck. I was in Grand Rapids last week, and I was at. I don't remember what restaurant. We stopped at like A&W or some shit, and they got like George Strait playing.
Just fucking
I was like,
blasting.
Man, you'd think you'd be able to get away from this the further down you go, but you don't.
Damn.
I think, rural Ohio is the same way. I think that's why I hated it so much, because that's all you'd ever hear.
Yeah.
And I just, Ohio Cowboys always made me laugh.
We don't
need Spurs.
We got that here too.
I always think it's funny when people have rebel flags up here.
Yeah. We're like... Yes. Literally almost Canada, and you could not be further south or further north from.
<I know. laughs> You love it that much, go down there, dude.
Yeah, I used to work in the South a lot, and everyone I worked, I definitely stood out amongst people I worked with.
So, were you in any bands prior to this one, or is this kind of your first like big project? Or I guess it's a project you've been seeing things through on, because everybody has like a tinker band, I guess.
Yeah, before COVID, we had Gates of the Abyss. We were melodic death metal. We started off wanting to do Dissection type stuff, but it doesn't sound anything like Dissection at all. And
there's only one band that really does.
Yeah, they're actually, man. Have you heard Volcandra?
I was just gonna say that's the band that does.
That's they're so good at it.
They're like they're the equivalent to Dissection, like Frozen Souls, the equivalent to Bolt Thrower.
Yeah, they really nail it. It's It's really impressive. I don't know how they do it.
I love both bands. I just watched Frozen Soul in concert like a week ago.
I think they're either coming here soon or I would love to catch them. But the other band was, it's funny too. I don't know if it's funny, but we were a Lord of the Rings themed melodic death metal band. And
honestly, so many more of those than people realize. Like, there's so much Lord of the Rings mythology packed into metal music, like lyrically.
And most people love Lord. I mean, what's not to like about Lord of the Rings?
Right.
All they do is walk.
You don't like Lord of the Rings?
No, I do like Lord of the Rings, but
Clerks reference.
Yeah. Clerks too.
And if somebody put a gun to my head, they wouldn't even have to put a gun to my head. They could just like try to pull a nose hair, and if they were like, say you hate Lord of the Rings, I would do it gladly, because I'm like all about the Return of the Jedi and not the fucking king. Just putting that out there.
I like both, but I'll say when I seen Dune, the new one, I like came back to the record store. I was talking to my partner here, and I'm like, fuck Star Wars, Dune is better. And then he's like, no way. And he went and seen it, and then he's like, yep, fuck Star Wars. Which was surprising, because he's like a gargantuan Star Wars fan. But I love Star Wars too, and I wasn't saying that in a... I was just kind of being a smartass, because a lot of people like hold that up as like the holy grail of sci-fi, and it's great movie, but I wouldn't call it the holy grail of sci-fi.
I don't call it the holy grail of sci-fi. I'm just saying...
No, I'm not saying you did. I was just...
fucking trilogy, son.
Yeah. No, they're all great. Same with Lord of the Rings.
And I'm very glad I don't have a Star Wars-related tattoo at this point, because now they're owned by Disney.
I have two of them.
I know. Just saying.
I'm surprised they don't have one. I think they're a good entry point, though.
But, yeah.
They're like entry-level sci-fi.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's a good entry point. And
I like the love story aspect and the redemption of it. Not so. I like that's just my brain.
The characters and like the random amount of creatures and shit. Like,
and I'm not as like a super fantasy fan as you guys are. Like, it's just for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got really into the audiobooks before Disney bought it, and I was on like the arc for, I think it was his name was Jason Solo before they changed him to, I can't remember his name now, but they just threw all that away, and that really disappointed me.
Like pretend it didn't exist.
Yeah. It's kind of like they took elements from it and just called it a day.
Mm. I never really got into I've watched obviously the original three Star Wars, the three that came mm-hmm. after. I watched one movie after that, or no, I'm sorry, two. And then I never watched the rest of them. And like, I never got into the extra stuff like Clone Wars and Mandalorian and all the side projects and the spinoffs and whatnot.
Yeah, I like some of the movies that they did, but I don't find myself going back to watch them I do the originals.
I gotta say, this is the first that we've talked more about Lord of the Rings and Star Wars than Batman, though.
Yeah, normally. True that.
Sorry, Bruce. I was just thinking about that. Like, we get, for some reason, Batman gets brought up a lot unintentionally, except obviously right now it was intentional, but.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest. I like Batman. I'm more of a Spider-Man guy. I like Marvel. I loved it.
Spider-Man is the fucking strongest pound-for-pound character ever, dude. For real.
And he's got such a good, like, I don't know. I really like the origin story of everything, and
yeah,
I just think it's fun.
This is like the movie, comic, not atmospheric black metal podcast right now. Love it.
That's so fun. No, it's funny, too.
Like, I was talking to you yesterday. I was like, we'll talk about the music and stuff and we'll get through it. But I was like, I guarantee there's going to be some movies or something that gets brought up. It always does. But we're both big movie fans. So
it makes sense. I would almost say like Batman's the dungeon synth and Spider-Man is more comfy synth. Like, it's much more pleasant.
I
can less
see
heavy.
Where you come. Yeah.
Because Gotham's a lot more of a darker place, and his origin story is a little more darker than a spider bite.
Did you guys like the new Batman?
I liked it. I
liked
the old
stuff. I liked
it
a lot
better,
more.
But
I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. I went in with low expectations, so I think I was kind of blown away that it wasn't awful. I thought it was decent.
No,
it was, I do like the older stuff.
I thought it was decent too. I kind of went in there with like, this is going to be, and it's going to be crap. But
I liked how dark it was filmed. I didn't like that they played that Nirvana song at every single possible interlude.
I was going to say, you kind of almost want to mute it, but you said it
like,
for me.
It just, they overdid it. Like, I get it. It suited the movie, like the whole presence of the thing, great. But because it's you know, depressing sounding, slower song, but they just overdid the shit out of it. Like, the soundtrack for that movie must be like 12 songs of something in the way.
Yeah, and then social media took off with like the little clips of that song when Batman.
But I really like Zoe Kravitz for obvious reasons. So like, I was excited for her to be Catwoman. I did think that the movie was kind of, it was almost like Seven if it was a Batman movie, like the premise of it.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, there's a lot of similarities.
The bike was cool. It made me, I'm not that into motorcycles, but it made me kind of want one. Walking out, I was like, that was pretty cool.
That's like the male equivalent to a Harley Quinn costume.
Yeah. I do like, my favorite ones are the Christopher Nolan ones. Am I wrong? I hope I'm not wrong.
No, you're right. That's Dark Knight.
Okay.
And Batman.
Okay,
Indians,
yeah.
And, yeah.
Sometimes I have ideas. I was like, that's right? It just seems too obvious.
Yeah. Now he did great ones. Tim Burton's, obviously.
We just rewatched the one with Catwoman in it.
Batman
it's like
Returns.
Both.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun, but also horrible.
Dude, those are my favorite ones, but that's because I grew up with them.
I just rewatched them not that long ago, too. They are a lot of fun, and they're great movies.
Yeah. There's just some things it's like, I don't know. I think it's just kind of goofy. But
oh, yeah,
I did,
like when he takes the mask off and like magically the fucking black shit on his eyes is gone.
Yeah. But I also had a great time watching it, and I really liked him as a kid.
You said you play like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. Has this been done yet? Have you, or has anybody, I should say, done like character pieces with their vinyl or something, like little figures and shit, or two, had a metal show at a D&D game?
I know I had a friend, it's actually the Crypt Mage guy, went on tour with a hardcore band and they played in a game shop, so there was a Dungeons and Dragons game going on while they were playing. That's I don't know how, once the music started, that they could continue to play, but
They gotta like sign to each other.
Yeah, I love the idea that like one of the players is in the band's like, hold on, I gotta go play real quick, and then you just go right back to your Dungeons and Dragons game. But Black Dahlia Murder released a module with one of their albums, I think like 2 albums ago.
Okay, that's cool. I didn't know that.
I wanted it so bad, just because that's a really cool thing to do, to release a whole module. I don't know how good it is, I don't know how it plays, but it's a great idea. And then, have you heard of Deathlehem?
I have not.
I don't think so.
They wear like full helmets and everything. The Gates of the Abyss got to play with them in New York, and they're wild. They're fun. I think all their stuff is based on, I could be so wrong, but I think it's based on their Dungeons and Dragons game, which I love the idea of. And actually, three guys in EFL have been in my Dungeons and Dragons game that I DM. So I think that would be fun to do. We almost need to start another band just for that. But I love that idea.
I just like, there's enough metal fans that are into both, so I was like, there's got to be some type of collaboration happening by now.
Yeah. Are you guys like power metal at all? Like Blind Guardian kind of.
Yeah, I like Blind Guardian and like Eternal Champion and Manowar and all that stuff.
Yeah. I just found a band called Judicator because I realized I only listened to like the stuff I listened to when I was a kid, and I don't like seek new power metal, but they give me Blind Guardian vibes. But I like that stuff. It very much complements the game.
Yeah.
So like when I'm preparing, I listen to that stuff, and
some of it can be a little cheesy, but like in a fun way.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A lot of the European stuff is super cheesy, and if it's too cheesy, I can't really do it, but I just need them to take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
It could be cheesy, but just make it believable.
So before we start to wrap things up here, we're like a little over an hour. I always ask people this question towards the end of episodes. But before I do, is there anything that you would like to add, say, get off your chest?
No, buy our vinyl. I would assume they probably still exist at this point.
Yeah, there's still if they don't, copies left on Blast Beats, but I know for a fact that there's less than half of what.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know a number, but there can't be many.
Yeah, I was so.
I try
if people like the record, go buy it while you can, because it'll be like the Weld and Woe thing. Like people listen to it too late and be like, "Oh shit, I should have bought that," and then they don't have a chance to buy it. So go buy it.
Yeah, I'm really happy they're doing another pressing.
That's great. It needs to be done. Like there was quite a bit of people that wanted it that missed out. But I also understand doing only 100 at first just to kind of feel it out. Like that shit's expensive.
Yeah, and you never know how it's going to do, but man, they are so good. They're
a great band. And the record turned out really cool too.
Yeah, I know there's a few cassettes left too from Viad, so I would check those out if the record doesn't exist, or if you're just into cassettes, which I think the cassettes look great too. She did a really good job. She helped us pick out that color and everything.
Yeah, I'll make sure we have links to both Viad and Blast Beats in the episode description. So if anyone's listening that wants it, check the episode description, go there, buy one or the other or both.
Or a t-shirt, because my closet's full of merch, and I've got a lot of debt.
Hey, you got to pay off that guitar you were talking about.
Yeah.
But so, before we sign off, so I always ask this to people, what is something that you listen to that people would not expect you to listen to?
So I have like
of your genre of music that you play.
Yeah, I have like a lesser-known band, and then I have like a pop band. Aqua, who did Barbie Girl.
Uh-huh. I have that CD.
Dude, I bought that album twice, and I also listened to it on digital. The other songs should have been... I get Barbie Girl is good, but like the other songs are hits.
Yeah, all the other really songs good. Are better. Barbie Girl is just the one that kind of blew up. I mean, that's definitely not something I listen to all the time, but that's like, I do have that CD.
I have no opinion except for... I did not care for Barbie Girl and never cared to dig any deeper.
Yeah, I could definitely, I 110% understand that.
Yeah. When it came out, though, Barbie Girl, I loved it, and that's why I bought it. But then I can't stand Barbie Girl now, and all the other album, or all the other songs are really good. And the album after that was really good. I think it's like Aquarium and Aquarius. Yeah, can't believe I'm plugging.
Listen past that. I just heard that one because I heard a song that wasn't Barbie Girl. I can't remember what it was. Like maybe Dr. Jones or whatever that one song is.
Oh, it's so good.
And it like was an earworm type of thing.
So yeah, it's got like
you kind of got to like beat it out of your head, so you just play it enough to where, and then you know you hear the rest of the shit. But I never went past that record.
Yeah, it's got like that harpsichord start.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
But then I do seriously like Aqua, but one of the bands I really dig is Dry Cleaning. They're kind of like this indie rock band where
I don't know that band.
It's really good. She kind of like orates. It's not sung, but it is kind of sung. But I think they're like indie post punk post rock. I'm terrible with the genre.
Yeah.
I
have seen that record with the soap on it before.
Oh yeah, the soap with the pubes.
Yep.
I have seen that too now.
I can't stand looking at that album cover. I don't love it. But the music's fantastic. I saw them live. It was either last year or the year before. And they're just incredible live. And I can't wait to keep hearing stuff that they do. I noticed that I tend to gravitate towards like English bands, which is funny. But Yeah, they're really good. I recommend checking them out if that's your thing.
What's the name of your pop band?
Oh, Aqua was my pick. I also was going to say...
Oh, I thought you meant like... When you said I have a pop band, I thought you meant like you were in a pop band.
No,
band.
No.
I was like, oh, shit. How did we not get that?
No, they were my pop pick.
Gotcha.
And then like a lesser known one. I almost said John Legend too, because when I did singing lessons, John Legend was one that my teacher wanted me to do. And he's from Ohio. I never knew I would like John Legend until doing singing lessons. But,
yeah, no, dude's got a good voice.
He's so good.
I don't really listen to him all that much, but I've heard him on stuff that
I never would have.
He did an album with The Roots that was pretty good.
Yeah, they're really good too. I like hip hop and stuff too, but I think a lot of people like hip hop. Who doesn't like? I don't know. I guess some people probably don't. But
there's a lot of people out there that don't. But it is what it is. I mean,
it is though interesting that now though, like 20 years ago, it'd be like totally different, and now yeah. it's like. Hip hop's the biggest fucking genre in
the world,
aside from country in America, right?
I think hip hop's bigger.
Is it?
Hip hop's.
It might
big,
be.
Yeah.
I mean, a country fucking, it's up there
if
for
it
sure.
Is, then
but
I'm glad. But
I'm pretty
I know in
sure.
America,
I'm pretty sure hip hop
one for a long time.
Maybe I'm thinking worldwide, but I
is
know hip hop is like
worldwide?
The highest selling genre
That's
worldwide.
Crazy man. Crazy.
And it's crazy how different hip hop can be too, because there's
oh,
hip hop I think it's trash. And then there's hip hop I love. Like,
oh, yeah. But it goes the same in metal, too. Like, there's so many different facets to it that. But metal's been around for longer. Like, hip hop is still, you know, it just had 50 years. Like, metal's beyond that by this point. So there's so many different offshoots that hip hop still has time to age to figure out, like, random little pockets of, like, shit that sounds completely out of what you would expect.
Yeah, and it's moving so fast that I can't keep, like, I'm just not going to know those genres. I'll stick to metal for the genre knowledge.
Yeah, I don't bother too much with subgenres because it's annoying and confusing, and it becomes kind of ridiculous at certain points. So,
yeah.
It's metal, death metal, whatever. Like, I use a very general term for
Goblin
it.
Metal.
Yeah, Necrogoblicon.
I love them. They're really fun.
But anyways, man, we could honestly sit here all day and talk.
Yeah,
like we, you get us on music. I mean, we'll turn this into a 3-hour episode real quick.
Yeah, I've got a D&D game to get to. So,
but yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to sit and talk with us. It's been cool to get to know you and know
man,
a little more
nice
about the band.
You.
Yeah, I'm so glad you guys had me on, and I'm going to be listening to some of those episodes in the back catalog because you guys got a new fan for sure.
Cool.
Hey,
we appreciate
man.
It. There's
Spread the word.
Quite a bit of stuff on there, so
hopefully
you find something you enjoy.
For sure, yeah.
But all right, man. I'll be in touch with you on Instagram.
Cool. All right. Thanks. Sorry if I blabbered on too much, but
yeah,
I had
great.
Fun. Cool. Awesome. I can't wait to listen.
Cool. All right, man. You enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk soon.
You too. See
Later.
You guys.